This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome in to another edition of Darren, Donick, and Chase. Willie Donick and Chase McCabe here with you. Darren McFarland on vacation. Boy, we got a lot going on, and we're going to have all kinds of great analysis of it throughout the day. This is where you're going to want to be for the next 4 hours, even if you're in and out of work. Be checking in with us because it literally changes, it seems, every hour with new twists. But this morning, we got the news that we all hoped would not happen, and that is that the Titans have had more positive tests, two, according to reports, and so they will not get back into the facility today as they had hoped yesterday. Still, the cloud lingering over what the league is going to do. Now, new twists with the Patriots having another positive test. Stephon Gilmore, plus the Raiders have a positive test, and we'll get into that because that just didn't pop out of thin air. There's been some things going on with the Raiders that have sort of been out there, but not really in the forefront. So all of this, about 48 hours, 24 hours after the league memo came out about the protocols, and we feel like the protocols are good, they're working, with one exception. Well, there may be more than one exception now. But in the meantime, here locally, it looks like the Titans game, I don't see an avenue where you could play on Sunday. No. And with the Bills scheduled to play, Chase, on Thursday, a week from tomorrow, Monday doesn't look like a possibility either. So what to do now?
My guess is we're looking at a Week 18 scenario. Unless they go,
best.
If they determine that the Titans are completely 100% in the wrong, and even after all this they didn't listen to the league, then I think you could talk about a forfeiture. That could be a scenario there. But if this is just a continuation of what's been going on over the last week and a half, then I think you have to look at a Week 18 scenario. That's the only way. Right now, as we sit on Wednesday, I don't think they're the only game that's going to be affected this weekend. I think you have to look at the Patriots and you have to look at the Raiders as well.
We don't know what's going to happen in the coming days with either of those teams, but what we've learned, of course, is it can take several days. We questioned it when they played the game on Monday night with the Patriots that, you know, how can you be so sure that everybody was negative besides
Cam
Newton?
And that's on the league. That's on the league.
That is on the league. So we'll have to see how they sort that out in the coming days, and then there's the Raiders. But we'll talk about the forfeit later this hour because I do think that's an interesting one that's being tossed out. And now, I mean, it was in the memo from Roger Goodell. I never thought seriously that that would have to be considered, but if you're not going to play the game on Sunday and you haven't really made a definitive commitment to play makeup games in a Week 18, you do wonder if they've kicked that around. To me, it's not fair to forfeit a game based on what has happened to this point, unless you're ready to come out with findings of blatant disregard for protocols. Now, along that front, recently it's come out. We saw it from the Washington Post. Mark, I don't know if you say it Maskey or Mask, who I think has been on our show once before, but he reported that there are looking into the NFL Players Association looking into a gathering of Titans players outside of the facility for workouts when they were restricted from doing so. So that's the kind of thing that can really get you in hot water. Tom Pelissero has tweeted the same thing. So that's an issue.
And if that is the case, then I you know, as much as you'd hate to see it, I would understand if the league made them forfeit the game. Because they asked them not to. And let me read a quote from Mike Vrabel. Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com, tweeted this out because he asked the question last week about players gathering, And Vrabel said, quote, "We've asked our players to, in light of this recent test, to not gather, whether that's a league protocol or us asking them, so that we can just avoid close contact and that we can try to work through this and get back into the building to prepare for Buffalo as quickly as possible." Yeah, because that did, remember, that came up last week.
Yeah, it came up more than once, I think. And he said, "We've told our players not to gather." So right. I don't know. But we're also talking about trying to put a timeline together of all of this. When would those workouts have gone on? Were they earlier this week? Were they over the weekend? I don't know. Or was it a day or two before they got the bad news and the avalanche of tests started coming in? I don't know. But all of this is very troubling for sure. I still think I would like to see an official report from the league on the findings before you say the game is forfeited. But the game is supposed to be Sunday, so you have to figure out what to do with the game. What do you do if you're the Buffalo Bills? Now, along that front, we're going to talk to their play-by-play radio announcer, John Murphy, in just a few minutes here, and we'll see how the Bills feel about this, because they just played the Raiders. The Raiders had a charity event that was conducted. I mean, it was a great charity event. They raised a lot of money, but there were a bunch of players that were not wearing masks. They all got fined. The Raiders have been fined repeatedly, and they played their game on Sunday against the Bills, lost the game, and now they have a positive test. So what's coming on down the pike there? You know, so the right. Bills are being sandwiched by two teams that have had issues, and the Bills are having their best season. It looks like they've got their best team in decades, perhaps. So what a tough dilemma for them.
And they're in control of their division right now. I mean, with what's happening with New England, sitting at 2-2. I mean, they're in a good spot. So I can understand not wanting to stop that momentum and have an unscheduled bye week, but I don't think there's any way around it. Unless, I mean, if they determine they could play, and I'm spitballing here like no other, but if they determine they could play the game Monday, I mean, could they move a Thursday game to Friday and logistically do that?
I don't know. But
I mean,
time,
obviously there's TV contracts.
They don't have a whole lot of time.
And, yeah. I mean, it's a mess. It's bottom line, it's a mess for the NFL, for the Titans, for everybody involved. And unfortunately, we were worried about this, that this was going to be what happens if you have one mess up, or you have not even an egregious mess up, just circumstance of the fact that you're playing in a pandemic, and then all of a sudden all hell breaks loose, and that's exactly what's happened.
It was very convenient, and we said this on Monday, when the Titans got skewered by Adam Schefter, it was a convenient storyline for the NFL to put it in a tight box. And I think their memo suggests this as well, that let's make an example out of one team, the Titans, and everybody else is good, and now we've all learned the lesson of what could happen, and we go forward. But now it's getting more and more complicated here with the Patriots situation in particular, and now the Raiders situation, where there is a backstory, and it's not like the league was unaware of the charity event. They fined them. Now you have the positive test. I still don't understand why they were able to play the Patriots game, right? I know it was right. A big game, but the two-plane thing, the more you think about it, made no sense. What plane was Stephon Gilmore on? I don't know. But how could you be so certain that you had to be wary of the fact that you could get more positive tests, A, by what was happening with the Titans, and B, by the fact you felt like you had to have a second plane of players that might have been around Cam Newton. So you had 20 players on a plane of players that had been around a player that had exposure. That doesn't sound like a good recipe for no future positive tests. So I don't think you knew that you could play the game on Monday. That wouldn't be the issue. The issue would be what would happen in the coming days afterwards. And so here we go with one more positive test. They better hope that there's no more and then there's no problem with the Chiefs. It's still kind of a miracle that nothing happened with the Vikings. I don't know if it's a miracle, but they're right. Fortunate that that didn't happen.
Well,
so we're going to get to that We want to run here so we can get to John Murphy because he's got limited time. But I want to get to the Bills' perspective of this. Do they think that there should be a forfeit? Or would they be willing to play Week 18? Do people just play less games than some other teams? I don't know. But we'll get their perspective in a moment. Also, the Predators draft, big story last night with them taking the goalie. I didn't think they would do it. They did it. We'll get into that a little bit later because the rest of the draft or the draft will continue today during our show hour. So we'll keep you up to date on that throughout. The baseball playoffs continue again. All kinds of stuff happening here on our show. When we come back, John Murphy, play-by-play voice of the Buffalo Bills. Stay tuned. We're coming back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. You will be hearing some Van Halen today. Certainly, we're mourning the loss of Eddie Van Halen if you're in a certain age demographic or even a little bit younger and appreciate that era.
As a guitar player.
Is the case with Chase, yes.
As a guitar player, I love Eddie Van Halen.
Yeah. Sad news yesterday for sure. Lost his, I shouldn't say lost, died, had been battling cancer for a long, long time. And so we mourn the loss of Eddie Van Halen, but so much going on, but you will hear some great Van Halen today in tribute. We just were speculating whether Stephon Gilmore was on the plane of the people that were close to Cam Newton, and Mark Daniels from the Providence Journal has tweeted out, yes, that was the case for Stephon Gilmore. So another implication of the league protocols and questioning the decision of handling the Cam Newton situation. It looks like it's getting more complicated. With that in mind, let's go to another team that resides in that division, the 4-0 Buffalo Bills. Their play-by-play announcer, John Murphy, is on the line with us. And John, first of all, thanks a lot for taking the time with us. I know this is pretty chaotic here, and I know there's probably a lot on your mind and a lot on your plate as you figure out what the next move is. But I do want to pass along a couple of people that have strong Buffalo ties told me to tell you hello. Jerry Helper and Pete Weber, a good friend of yours from the Nashville Predators.
Oh, yeah, both good guys. Yeah, they both at one point or another were affiliated with the Buffalo Sabres, the hockey team up here. Good guys, both good guys.
No question. And so, John, where do we start? I mean, the Bills are learning things about the team they just played with the Raiders and all the things that were going on there. They get the win. They're having this extremely exciting season, but now they don't know what their next move is here.
Yeah, I mean, I got as many questions for you as you may have for me. I think, you know, Sean McDermott in about 15 minutes will have his weekly Wednesday Zoom news conference, and I plan on getting on with that at the bottom of this hour to kind of figure out where his head's at. They have announced that they do have practice outdoors scheduled for about an hour after McDermott meets the media, about 12:30 Eastern time. So we'll see. I mean, I think they're proceeding as business as usual, but it certainly is not business as usual. I'm having trouble trying to figure out how the Titans are ready to play if they've got more COVID positive COVID tests. But we'll wait and see, I guess. Wait and see what happens. I'm ready. I did my spotting board last night. I started to watch video last night. So if there is a game, I'm starting to know the Titans a little bit. So I'm good. I'm glad about that.
Yeah, as a guy that's done some play-by-play, I would imagine you had to be pretty creative on the spotters board with all the guys that the Titans have on the COVID list. You might have a highlighter for those guys because it doesn't look like they would be available. And as you said, we don't know if the whole team will be available. We don't know when they can get back in their facility. So here's the question everybody's kicking around, John, is especially from the Bills' perspective, would they be in favor of a forfeit or would they be willing to play a week 18, which I guess has been speculated, or would they be okay with, okay, some teams might have to play 15 games?
Yeah, that's a really difficult question. I'm reluctant to answer on behalf of the Bills. I mean, a forfeit would be obviously a win, and certainly you have a hard time turning your nose up at that, but I don't think anyone would feel good about accepting a forfeit in this situation. A week 18, I guess, works, but, you know, so they can schedule it now for week 18, but the way things are going, you know, they may need a week 19 and then week 20, not just the Bills, but someone else in the NFL. So I don't know what's going to happen. You know, the Bills have a bye week scheduled for November 22nd, which is still open now. Next week they play home against the Kansas City Chiefs on Thursday night. And that, I guess, could be mobile. That game might move. I think everything's in a state of flux right now. I'm not quite sure. I don't know what the Bills would want. I don't think, knowing Sean McDermott, I don't think he would really be real happy about accepting a forfeit, even though, it, you know, it's easy money. It's like winning the lottery, I guess. But
right.
I don't know. I'm not sure what would be the best scenario for the Bills. I think the best scenario for the Bills is to keep having no positive COVID tests. But the way it's going around, it's hard to imagine that happening. You know, so far they have had nobody test positive.
That is really good news. And did you have any thought when the game was going on with the Raiders? Were you aware of the charity event and the fines that had been laid down for them? Was there any concern on the Bills' part for that game?
Yeah, I think there was. It was talked about last week that the charity event was the week before. I think the Monday night before the Bills went to Vegas to play the Raiders last Sunday, and there was discussion about it. Darren Waller, the tight end, had a great charity that his teammates attended and were photographed not wearing masks, and there was discussion about it beforehand. Excuse me. Sean McDermott was asked about it last week, and he said, we're concerned. We understand what the implications are, but we're going to go out and play. And yeah, I was concerned, certainly. I think everybody was concerned when those reports came out. There were reports, too, that the league was investigating, and you know, they came out with their penalties just the other day after the Bills played it at Las Vegas.
Chase?
Yeah, we're talking some Buffalo Bills here with John Murphy, the play-by-play man there in Buffalo. So, I mean, let's look at the positives of this, because we originally had you on to preview this team. I mean, things clearly going well in Buffalo right now, one of the best starts that they've had. So what is the buzz like in your market about a 4-0 Bills team that's leading the division?
Yeah, there's a lot of buzz, quite frankly, and a lot of buzz around the offense. And you know, the Bills had a 17-year playoff drought that ended in 2017, and throughout those 17 years, they really never had a high-powered offense, mostly because they never really had a quarterback. But now they've got the quarterback, Josh Allen, who is he's been on fire through the first four games. He's been outstanding. I think he's emerging as a candidate for league-wide MVP, to be frank with you. And he's been great. You know, the Bills are the second-ranked passing offense in the league. They still have room to grow in the run game. The defense has been okay, not great. It's been all good, all positive. And I think, if I can speak for at least Bill's fan base, they were looking forward to a test at Tennessee this weekend, you know, if in fact it doesn't happen. They were looking forward to seeing how they fare against a pretty good Tennessee Titans team that had that great run in the postseason last year. And then, of course, the Kansas City game on Thursday night awaits after that.
I think one of the big questions of the offseason, not just with your team but the NFL, was how is Stephon Diggs going to fit there in Buffalo? I mean, he had a successful career in Minnesota, comes over there. I mean, we've seen it on the field, but just from the overall Bills life, the standpoint, how have you seen him fit in?
He's been great. He really has. Yeah, I think people were not concerned, but wondering if he would be a culture fit with what is a pretty strong team culture here with the Buffalo Bills. And he certainly has. You know, he's setting personal records, first four games of a season with 39 catches. He has 403 yards receiving so far this season. But beyond the numbers, he's just been a good teammate. And look, I mean, Josh Allen is the reason why the Bills are the number two passing attack in the NFL through the first quarter of the season. But they really have a good wide receiving core, led by Stephon Diggs, their number one guy. But John Brown is an outstanding receiver. Cole Beasley came over from the Cowboys a couple of years ago. He's a great slot receiver and possession type receiver. They're getting big contributions from a rookie, Gabriel Davis, who played at Central Florida. He was a fourth-round pick. And even this past week at the Raiders, even their fifth and sixth receivers chipped in. I think it's sort of undersold a little bit. Everybody's focused on Allen and how good he's been, but he's really getting great contributions from his receiving core. And it's a receiving core that has really been rebuilt over 2 years. I give a lot of credit to Brandon Beans, general manager, for putting this group together different ways, you know, drafting some of them, acquiring some in free agency, and, of course, making the trade for Stephon Diggs. He's been a great fit for this Buffalo offense.
When we talk about coaches around the NFL, I mean, you know, there are a lot of names that come up of, okay, yeah, you know, those are some great coaches. But Sean McDermott's name to me comes up as a guy that is underrated and doesn't get just due, in my opinion, sometimes. I mean, what he's done since he's been in Buffalo, how he's slowly built that thing up, and obviously it goes around the quarterback, but I think he's done a tremendous job. Is the feeling in Buffalo that he does get his just due, or is he underrated?
I think he's underrated. I think people appreciate that. Back in August, in the middle of the Bills training camp, their preseason training camp, they extended his contract. He was coming. He's in year four of an original five-year deal, and it's been extended pretty much indefinitely. And that's, you know, he's got this team, as I said, they had a 17-year playoff drought, and they've been in the playoffs two of the last 3 years. They're on the way to making the playoffs and maybe going deep in the playoffs this year. He's a great fit for this town. You know, he kind of gets it. He understands the culture. He understands what fans are looking for. He's a no-nonsense guy. He is a player's coach, but a different kind of player's coach. That doesn't mean, you know, players are running all over him. He listens to his players and accommodates their wishes and changes things if the players really want it. But very organized, I think, is I think he's sort of an outlier in the NFL in many ways in the way he approaches coaching football and the way he approaches getting his team ready to play. And I think he's, you know, we'll see how the season winds up, but he's certainly going to be a candidate for Coach of the Year if they keep playing the way they are right now, that's for sure.
Well, it's been a great story. John, thank you so much for joining us. I know you got to run so you can get ready to listen to your coach, but we hope you get to call a game on Sunday, if you know what we mean, but even though it looks a little bleak right now, but congratulations on the great start, and we'll talk to you again down the road.
Okay, thanks, Thomas.
All right, that's John Murphy, voice of the Buffalo Bills. And what is next? Just while we were talking with him, there's more stuff coming up, coming out from the Patriots camp.
Yeah, that's not good.
Sportsnet tweets out that Patriots practiced. And of all that, of all things, Sportsnet, I'm not sure how they have that. It's probably coming from other people as well. This is what I just saw. But the Patriots have canceled practice amid reports that a third player has tested positive for COVID-19. It can't be a surprise, though. You put 20 guys on a plane that were with Cam Newton. That's a bad recipe.
Let me ask both of you.
Now we know from the Providence Journal that Stephon Gilmore was one of the guys on the plane. It's inevitable that there's going to be more, right?
Oh, I agree.
I mean, it'd be a miracle if there weren't.
Let me ask both of you guys this. Just give me a percentage that the games are played this weekend, or could you see this going toward like any of the games?
What I'm
saying is, do you think this is going towards the league may need to call timeout and get this under control?
Because I don't think you do.
Because it's not just one team now.
Oh, I don't think you. I think you play whatever games you can play.
So like baseball does.
You have to fight through. That's the only way. But this is what's disappointing. That the Titans made a mistake similar, it appears, to what the Marlins and the Cardinals did. So unfortunately, they didn't learn from the baseball. Now, we're human, right? To err is human. But then on top of that, the league they didn't learn from the Titans' mistake, right? They
exactly.
Allowed the Patriots to then make a similar mistake. They made minor adjustments, but it was clear they were walking into the same possible situation, traveling knowing that you had somebody that had the virus and he was around other people. So that doesn't look good. And I have to say, we did say it before they played the game on Monday. We were questioning, you know, as we went to the air, the Patriots were flying to Kansas City. But over the weekend, I was scratching my head going, this doesn't make sense.
Yeah, what are they doing?
Right? This doesn't make sense. We were saying it on the front end, but they walked right into the same trap. So I don't know about the league timeout, Chase, but it's unfortunate. And in baseball, it's not like they were perfect, right? There were other – but I think it's safe to say that they improved over the season of limiting what happened and doing a better job. Like the Mets, for example, the team I follow, they had an issue later in the season after the Cardinals and Marlins had big problems, right? They had to stop for a long time. And they had to play a ton of doubleheaders. Of course, both teams made it to the playoffs. But the Mets had a similar situation, but they were able to keep it controlled because they handled it right away. They handled it correctly, and it only was a couple of days before they could get back on the field. And so it was a much shorter period out. Then later, after that,
right,
the Padres and Giants had a situation. And again, they knew what to do. They kept it under control, and it was only about a day before they could get back in there. Everything is different.
Right.
Every situation is different, but I'm just saying that You have to be able to learn from what's happened before.
And I totally agree with that. But here's the issue. Like when we make the comparisons to baseball, baseball had wiggle room. The NFL doesn't. The NFL doesn't have scheduling wiggle room. Now, they may have to create it. They may have to move some things that they don't want to move around. I mean, are they willing to move the Super Bowl to mid-February? Because they may have to. They may not have a choice. If they want to play it, they may have to. But that's the issue in all of this, that any of these missteps, whether it's by a team or by the league, it's costing them time that they don't have, because they really don't have the room. They could do week 18 because you have that gap week in between the championship games and the Super Bowl, but that's all they have built in right now. You're going to have to move some dates if you want to add a week 19 or have more of a buffer.
I can't see a week 19. I think you got to have 1 week to play games of significance, and you might have to entertain the idea of some teams don't play 16 games.
See, I think they're more. I think you're more likely to see a week 19 than see that. I think the
really?
NFL wants 16 games out of every team.
Or do you think they just give another? Each team like maybe an extra bye week too. I mean, you're going to have to be flexible with your schedule, but I mean, at this rate, the Titans are playing 13 games because there's a good chance Buffalo's not being played.
Well, I've always said that the NFL needs 2 bye weeks.
Yeah. I mean, you.
Especially when they go to 17.
Yeah. Throw in like a week 18 or an extra bye week, because as of right now, we have a potential for one team to only play 3/4 of a season, and other teams maybe play 16 games. And because of the Titans, they could maybe all play a little less. So. I mean, maybe a season pause for a week might not be the worst idea in the world, just to get teams to heal up. Now, everyone would have to follow along certain guidelines. You couldn't meet up outside of the training facility to run routes or go over things like the Titans have been alleged of doing, or else you're just going to make this problem even worse and back up everything an extra week. But at what point do you have to say you have to do something like that? Because
Titans,
like I said, I'm kind of like on Chase's side in terms of they're going to have to do something drastic for a week or so just to get everybody maybe not on the same page, but the same chapter. Because at this rate, Titans are playing 11 or 12 games, because I highly doubt this game against Buffalo is being played. And all it's going to take is 3 or 4 more tests next week for us to be having the same conversation next Wednesday.
Right, because if they restarted this thing, because that's what it kind of feels like, that we had 2 days of negative tests, and now there's a report that maybe some guys gather to work out together. You know,
I'd like to know when that was.
The fire was almost out. It was barely lit, and they rekindled it. That's kind of what this feels like. Now, again, if that's the case, then is the NFL going to step in and do something about it, or are they just going to keep trying to move things around? That's where the league needs to say something. But again, this is one of those things, just like we had when the virus started. We would answer one question and then another one would pop up. Like, that's what's happening.
It's
right,
like whack-a-mole.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what's going on. But I don't think it's out of the question to think about a league-wide pause just to get this under control. Because right now, it's like a ref that's lost the game. It is not under control. You got the Raiders having one, the Patriots. This is going to get worse before it gets better for the Patriots.
I think you're right about the Patriots, and I think it's obvious to see why. I think you wonder what's going to happen in the next few days with the Raiders, but I still stop short of saying you have to pause the whole league because of that. I think you have to be prepared for this to pop up from one time or another throughout the season, especially as the weather gets colder, time goes on. We're only in week 5. So you're going to have to get creative. You might have to just come to the realization that there might be several teams that play less than 16 games, even if you have a week 18. But then what's your plan after week 18? Because I think you have to really consider the bubble at that point if you really want to have assurances that you could get through your postseason.
Oh, they have to. They have to at this point.
Yeah, you can have divisional bubbles, or at least have everybody play at least 6 games and then finish out your division season in that bubble, and then maybe you get up to 10 games, everybody at the same time playing all at least X amount of games, so you could at least base a playoff on some sort of a regular season. If you don't do that, I mean, we're just going to have the same problem. And if the NFL didn't have any plan outside of moving bye weeks and having a week 18, then they wasted months of the summer getting ready for this season. Because, like Willie said, like this was inevitable. We knew this was going to happen. And if your only plan was to move around the one bye week each team gets a year, or maybe add one extra week, then Roger Goodell and the NFL really dropped the ball because they had the luxury of time. All summer long, and we're still scratching our heads of what we're going to do because one team or two teams has had a breakout or an outbreak when teams in Major League Baseball had an outbreak, and they had to figure it out on the fly. The NFL didn't have to figure it out on the fly. They could have had a contingency plan. They could have thrown out right now and say, okay, well, here's what happens if there's an outbreak, and the team has to miss multiple weeks because an outbreak won't just last 1 week. The virus doesn't say, you know what? We've already cost the Titans one game. We should probably stop moving across the locker room so they can get ready for the Bills on Sunday. It's not going to work that way. And if they don't have that plan right now and it's not being exercised at this very moment, then they wasted months of their time in that were valuable months that could prepare you for this specific idea or outbreak.
All the league reporters I've heard reference, they have contingency plans. They have plan B, but we'll wait and see.
They might need plan C. Here's a quick point on this though, and I don't know if it's because somebody texted me this morning. It was like they sat on their behind, and I don't know if it's necessarily that because I do believe they have some sort of contingency plan, but I also think that they trusted their people too much. They trusted that the players and the coaches and everybody would listen to the protocols and be smart and not get complacent. And that's exactly what Roger Goodell said in the memo of complacency. I can't remember exactly how he worded it, but you know, complacency is an opponent of ours, and that's what's happening. I think we've seen evidence of teams getting complacent because it's just like, all right, same old routine. And so the NFL trusted that everybody could do this for 16 games and not have any faux pas. Well, now they have, and now it's spiraled out of control because now you have the Titans that have been affected for the last 2 weeks. The Patriots are starting theirs. They're starting to get affected. And oh, by the way, let's not pretend the Chiefs are out of the woods by any means, because I don't think they are. We've seen this. I mean, we know
that apparently
there's
a picture of Stephon Gilmore with Patrick Mahomes during the game,
right,
or after the game or something. Yeah, you certainly keep your fingers crossed.
There's the incubation period.
Oh yeah. Well, if you don't know about that by now, you know, if you've been following any form of the news, you learn that that's the tricky part. Even if you test every day, multiple times a day, you can't know what's coming down the pike 2 or 3 days. Not now. Maybe that's a critical thing in the coming months that would be a great breakthrough. If we don't have a vaccine, the next best thing might be a test that could give you more immediate results pick up what we don't know now, which is I could be carrying it. It tests negative for several days and then be positive 4 or 5 days from now. Okay, let's step away for a moment, take a deep breath, because we'll get back to this for sure, because I do want to hit on the point.
We have a few texts that I want to read, too, when we come back.
Okay, yeah, and if you want to weigh in, we'd love to hear your reaction. Brought to you by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Just call or text us at 615-737-1025. Deep breath for a moment. The NHL draft is starting back up now, and there's a big trade to get it started. Matt Murray, the goalie that beat the Predators in the Stanley Cup final, won 2 Stanley Cups for the Penguins, has been traded to the Ottawa Senators to get things cranked up. So there's a little start to that. We'll follow the Predators, who have 2 second-round picks and 2 third-round picks, so they'll be very busy today. We'll step away for a moment and be back in a moment here on 102.5 The Game.
2 new positive tests among players this morning with the Tennessee Titans. That comes after 2 straight days without positives, which had increased the hope that they could reopen their facility. Remember, they have not been in their facility since last Monday due to the outbreak there. So their game against Buffalo this weekend is in serious jeopardy, and that might not be able to be rescheduled. They've already used their bye week to reschedule the Steelers-Titans game from last week. Buffalo plays on Thursday in week 6, so they're not going to move that game back from Sunday to Monday and have Buffalo only 2 days between games. Mm-hmm. So that game could be canceled. It could be forfeited by the Tennessee Titans if they find that the Titans are responsible for the outbreak. So we're watching that obviously very closely. A lot of uncertainty around that game.
So the F word, forfeit. Didn't really consider that very much, even as recently as yesterday, but that has been tossed around quite a bit. It was in the memo from Roger Goodell.
I guess you could say that there is an eruption in the National Football League right now. No?
Ah, nice.
Okay, you see what
okay.
I did there?
Okay, yeah, I see. Working it in. I'll work this in quickly.
Oh, come
thank
on.
You. Thank you, Elijah. We're back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. Darren is on vacation this week. He picked an interesting week to step away because we are in the throes of a lot of stuff going on. The NHL draft, the Ottawa Senators, who had three first-round picks, two of them very high, and now they acquire Matt Murray from the Penguins for a second-round pick and a guy named Jonathan Gruden. You can't make this stuff up, right?
John Gruden, really?
John Gruden has been traded. Who knew he was a hockey player? Okay, so there's that.
He's been traded again.
But, Chase, I know you have some listener feedback from our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And if you want to weigh in, join the party, either by text or calling 615-737-1025. But you heard Dan Graziano there, two new positive tests for the Titans, the F-word forfeit being kicked around. What is the NFL going to do? Will they create a Week 18? We don't know. It looks like there's no way they could possibly play the Bills on Sunday. And you now have reports from the Washington Post that the NFLPA is looking into a gathering of Titans players for a workout away from the facility when they were prohibited to do so.
Okay, so a couple, let me read through some of these and then we'll discuss. So Nate sends two of them. The two plane thing doesn't make sense. They could spread it during the game on the sidelines by being around each other for the 15 minutes or whatever. Good point there. I'm willing to give
absolutely.
The Titans. Yeah, I think that that's definitely something to think about. He also says, I am willing to give the Titans the benefit of the doubt until we have hard evidence of them doing wrong. These two positives could have nothing to do with the team. It could be that they went to the grocery store or somewhere and could have gotten it. That's fair, but they're being told to stay home. I mean, they're being told not to go anywhere. So I think you got to consider that. Ben asks, could they pause the season for 2 weeks, then come back to conference-only games, and then they got to pause again to reduce? And then if they have to pause again, they can reduce to division-only games. The NFL is going to avoid that at all costs. I mean, I think that
that's why I think the pause doesn't make any sense. The pause doesn't do you any good because it just shrinks the amount of time you have to play any of your games.
Yeah,
you might have to consider reworking the schedule. I don't know about that. I've thought about that. Is maybe only conference games, if you had to get to that point, almost prioritize games. That is the one thing you can do with everybody just playing once a week, unlike baseball where you just stack up doubleheaders as much
right.
as you can. But that's why I don't think you can afford to pause the league. I think the teams that are healthy and okay should play. Because that's just, you know, you check off the games that you can play.
Well, and I get that, but the only reason I say just pause for a week and just basically say, hey, you're going to have week 18.
Tell me what good that does. It doesn't prevent further cases down the road. You could still...
No, but it gives you a week to try and get what's going on under control and then have more of a harsher stance on how you're going to handle things. I mean... I'm not saying you could move into a bubble in a week, but you could also maybe have a better plan because the one that you have right now has holes in it.
But out of control, I think, is a little bit overstated right now. You have a major issue developing in New England. You obviously have a major issue here in Nashville. You have a potential issue for the Raiders. Other than that...
Okay, so what's out of control? Because I think if you lose three teams...
That's not the league out of control.
No, but if you lose three teams, you're losing control because it's spreading because you started with one team.
Pausing does nothing to help that by penalizing and not having anybody else play. I think you still play with the other teams. The games you can play, you play. That's what baseball did. I think that's what
right,
NFL baseball, has to do.
Baseball also had more wiggle room.
You can ill afford to pause. That's my point.
But then you're just saying week 18. They have week 18 available. They can make week 18 a thing already. And so that's what I'm saying. Go ahead and make week 18
a
thing.
But then you're guaranteeing that everybody has to play week 18. Right now, there's still a scenario where you only play the games you need to play on week 18. I think you have to prepare for the possibility that you need week 18 and even with Week 18, there are teams that don't play all 16. It's very possible. It's very possible.
This is one that really popped at me, and there was no name on this, so can't give credit. But
we should say again, if you're going to use our text line, we prefer that you give a name. Even if it's not your real name, you can tell us any name. You can say your name is Julie or Heidi or John or Jim or whatever. I mean,
yeah, and one person just asked, could the Bills Thursday night game be moved to a Sunday, allows more wiggle room? That's easier said than done because, you know, Fox has a contract. So there's – you got to air something. You got to air a football game on Thursday. I've kind of thrown out there, do you move it to Friday or something? But, again, a lot of logistics. But this is one that I find interesting. If they, the Titans, met against protocol since this all started, I guarantee Mike Vrabel knew about it. Got to get him out of there. Nobody's job should be above people's lives. What do you think about that, Willie?
I'm not going to speculate it, not knowing what has happened so far. Now, did we look back into the history of the Patriots and the history of football? I can remember clearly a night where we were doing a radio show, and we used to have Bobby Bethard on, NFL Hall of Famer, great GM of the Redskins.
Yep.
Right?
CJ's grandfather?
Yes, his grandson is CJ, who just had a really nice relief performance, if you will, for the 49ers. Bobby Bethard shared a story with us on the air about the 1987 strike when the players weren't supposed to be practicing while the strike was going on. But the Redskins, who ended up winning the Super Bowl, absolutely had practices going on while the strike was happening. So, you know, it's a little different situation. That's a labor situation. This is a pandemic. There's
right
serious ramifications for gathering. But I'm just pointing out that there's plenty of people who, in the name of competitiveness, bend or break the rules and try to do it secretly. But if you're caught, you got to pay the piper. I do subscribe to, if that's verified and that is on a list of protocols that were broken, then it's only going to increase the consequences from the league. But that's why I really think the league has to be transparent and also admit that their protocols have not been have to be adjusted, and there could be cases where they followed the protocols and still had an outbreak here. That is possible.
I think it's very easy, and the texter says, Heidi is my name, so there you go, Willie.
Okay, we got Heidi.
I think that it's very fair to say that the Titans probably didn't do everything right, and the NFL has not, the protocols haven't worked the way that they hoped.
That's why 100%. I really would say, unless it is blatant, that a forfeit is just not in the cards for this. It's not fair. Now, a draft pick, if there's pretty blatant evidence that you violated protocols, and the example would be a gathering of players for sure, then that's, you get what you get.
Right.
But I think it both can be the case where the NFL has to say, listen, we should not have let the Patriots fly. We've changed the protocols, and we're not going to penalize the Titans for that because our protocols aren't perfect here. We're learning as we go, and we got to make adjustments.
But to Heidi's text of saying, I guarantee Mike Vrabel knew about it, got to get him out of here.
You can't know that.
I'm not going to fire him. But if he did have knowledge after he said he's asked them not to, and he found out that they were gathering, which I don't think that that's the case, because I don't think he gets up there and he was pretty adamant about saying that we've asked them not to gather, then yeah, there should probably be some sort of punishment from the league if that's the case. But we don't know that, and we're probably not going to know that. So I just thought it was an interesting point that the texter Heidi brought up of, should Mike Vrabel receive some sort of punishment, whether it's, you know, fired or a suspension or what have you?
I think the team will be punished. I don't know that you need to. Punishment of the team affects Mike Vrabel. I think it would be hard to prove, but I do go back to the NCAA rule that they changed a few years ago, and that is if the it's no longer an excuse for the coach to say, hey, I didn't know that the booster was over there giving Chase some $20 handshakes over there. I didn't know, you know, or I didn't know my assistant coach Chase was out there committing all these rules violations. I didn't know. That doesn't fly, right? It's your job. The buck stops with you. You're the leader. You have to know, and you have to try to put a stop to wrongdoing. It's your job to know. So that I could see that, but I don't see the accusation of I guarantee he knew that I can't do anything to that. Now, we do have to say this. How about this? Elliot Friedman tweets, hearing Nashville working on a Nick Bonino trade with Minnesota. Oh, boy.
There we go.
There's
it begins.
Chase, you sent a text before the show. You felt something was coming down the pike. I wasn't feeling it, but.
Wow. I had a feeling.
Man, I'm a huge Nick Bonino fan. We said it in our table setting with Adam Vingan, who's going to join us at 11:30. He did point out, and I think we all agreed, that Nick Bonino has excellent trade value, where he is in his career and where he is in his contract and what he's done as a player. He's got value for sure, but he's got value to the Predators too. He's a tough guy to replace.
So we talked about this last night. Justin Bradford and I, we did a draft show and we threw out different, you know, scenarios. And I don't know if you saw the report in the Athletic. Well, we talked about it a little bit. And Craig Custance put out there that there continues to be a belief that Nashville's trying to get out of one of their big contracts. Now, Bonino is not one of the big contracts. It's not like the $8 million a year. That some of the players
which is
have.
Why he has good value.
Right. So we brought that up, but I also said if you trade Nick Bonino, now who knows what they're going to get back? You're not making your team better. You're getting worse because you're losing a really good player. But I have said throughout the offseason or since they were eliminated that would not be surprised if Bonino was the move just because of the trade value. And nothing's done. It's just, you know, being reported by Elliot
but Elliot is
where there's smoke, there's fire. So I would say that there's a chance something happens. And Arpin Basu just put out, we have a trade to announce.
I saw that. I don't know if he's watching the Sportsnet coverage and reading it off the screen. But yeah, here it is. Nick Bonino and picks number 37 and 70 in this draft to the Wild for Luke Cunnan and pick number 101.
All right. So you go. Nick Bonino has been traded by the Nashville Predators. Officially.
And so we will do our research on Luke Cunnan, who is a very good player. And he was a regular for the Wild. He's a young player, and I gotta go back and put my details together on his profile. But you not only trade Nick Bonino, but you trade one of the second round picks that you have.
Yeah.
Plus, if my math is right, one of the two third round picks that you have to get Cunnan. So they like Cunnan. There's no question.
Yep. So there you go. My feeling was right. the first domino has fallen when it comes to the Nashville Predators. So Nick Bonino has been a good player for them. So,
Oh, man.
You know, I hate to see
moment
him
of appreciation for Nick Bonino. Wow, I am a huge fan. I am a huge fan of his. They're going to miss him.
Bones is Barracks. You know, what he's done for the military. I did a profile piece on him a couple of years ago when he started that, and he said that the reason, you know, everybody kind of had their charities that they were working with, and this was the first time that he really felt that he was going to be at a place for a while and he could start something, and so he put a lot of work into it. So hate to see him go.
Well, Luke Cunnan is a 22-year-old center. Who played 63 games. He's only 22. So he's a former first-round pick in the 2016 draft. So he is just coming into his own. But he has 131 games under his belt. Last year, 63 games, 15 goals, 16 assists, and 31 points. So this is clearly a guy that makes the Predators younger, and they must really feel that he helps them, you know, sort of make the team a little younger in terms of their nucleus, right? That was one of the things that was a concern, is at this stage you've got a lot of players who are maybe not past their prime, but they're getting up there. They're getting towards the back edge of their prime. You know, the Johanssons, the Yossis, you know, they're still in their 20s, but it's more high 20s now. Forsberg, right in his prime. And then you have your 30-somethings, and so you swap Bonino for Cunning, and so we'll see. He's a University of Wisconsin guy. He actually was born in Chesterfield, Missouri, right outside of St. Louis. So we're going to have to get more on this. Adam Vingan will join us at 11:30, and so we'll keep an eye on this. But just repeating, Nick Bonino plus a second- and third-round pick to Minnesota within the division for Cunning and pick number 101. Is that in the third or in the fourth? My math is a little fuzzy here. But
I'd have to look.
Very interesting move. That is significant. All right, let's step away. When we come back, again, we'll take a deep breath, and we'll be back at it here on Darren, Donick, and Chase.